Welcome to Magic Vibes, the podcast by me, your host, Kelsey J. Patel, a weekly healing podcast show with tools and techniques from me and my tribe of wellness experts to bring you a sense of peace, belonging, and honest connection to life and your powerful magic. I cannot wait to share the magic vibes with you. Welcome back to Magic Vibes, the podcast with me, your host, Kelsey Patel. I am LOLing. I literally just recorded the beginning of this podcast only to look down and see that it, in fact, I had not hit the record button. So
papers.
Here we are at 2 days before the end of Mercury retrograde. Happy almost end of the last Mercury retrograde of this decade.
Hooray!
Hoorays. And with me is the one and only, the gorgeous, healing, one-of-a-kind, incredible acupuncturist, my personal acupuncturist, Carolyn Barron. Welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I love coming over and Kelsey's very metal home, sort of perched with the elementals, and you just feel the presence of each of the elements swirling around.
Oh, I love you. So we're actually sitting in my guest bedroom, which is the room that I used to do all of my Reiki sessions in. And so as Carolyn sat down, she could feel the vibes in this space. They're pretty epic.
Epic, epic. And then you gave me a stone to behold that looked
pre-night.
Like sort of rested from an alien environment somewhere.
Yeah. And the rose quartz is sitting right in the center. And we did a little bit of the incense. We got all the things going.
All the things.
So my dear, talk to us, because what in the actual heck is going on? I feel like so many of the people that I know and people that listen to this podcast and people on Instagram and my friends, mm-hmm. my family, so many of us have been like, everyone I know has been getting sick mm-hmm. in the last 2-3 weeks. Everyone who never gets sick, quote unquote, has gotten sick.
Yes.
And people are feeling these, what I would call actually like emotional waves mm-hmm. up and down of their emotional states. Like yesterday, I was like, fuck everything. I'm so sick of full moon bullshit. And oh, it's 11:11. So now we have to do a ceremony. And I was like, I am done ritualizing. And then only to this morning be up and meditating and at the gym and so happy and like running and having girlfriends over this afternoon for brunch and a meditation.
Yes. Hello, what? Wednesday. Yeah. Brunch.
On a Wednesday. I'm just sick of rules, so I'm breaking them all. But so tell us, I just want all of your info for everyone to hear. Like, where are we at? The last time you were on this podcast was for sort of the autumnal season change from summer to late harvest.
Yes.
And is that what it's called? No,
late summer.
Late summer, mm-hmm. yes. And we went through that and it was so profound to hear that. So where are we now towards the end of November?
Yes. Well, in case you haven't noticed right now, the chi is very unstable. Which is why
my emotional state.
Well, all of us, truly. And it's mirroring that in the cosmos too, because, you know, this time of year has always been sort of set, like about magic and about sort of the numinous and the liminal and like accessing like the sort of realm between the worlds in order.
Because we had also had Halloween.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So in Chinese medicine, right, we are in the midst of a seasonal pivot. We're in the throes of autumn. And to understand what that means in terms of all of us, we have to sort of trace a little bit of the lineage of this medicine a bit. And, you know, at its heart, Chinese medicine is an elemental medicine. And it's about watching how the five elements sort of transform and play and change throughout the year and how those patterns exist both in nature and in our bodies. And even beyond that, at the heart of that, it is an alchemical medicine and looking at how those patterns of change and transformation can be harnessed for our personal transformation upon this planet. And so for autumn's a little bit mysterious Because the five elements in most Western esoteric traditions have the fifth element as air or ether. And so I think a lot of us have more of an understanding of what that can mean archetypally. So
it's typical is earth, fire, water, air.
And well, either wood.
Oh, wood. Yes, yeah. Of course.
So in Chinese medicine, though, we have summer, which is fire element, mm-hmm. which is so obvious, right? If you think about it, it's flagrant, it's wild, it's hot, it's burning,
yeah.
it's activity, it's yang, it's like preening and shining and Leo season and
yeah.
all the things we sort of equate with fire. And then at the end of summer, we have harvest season, which is late summer and which is earth. And that also is just so flagrantly obvious in the abundance of fruit and ripening and rotting and like golden amber waves of grain and sort of that wonderful time when sort of like summer sort of condenses and gets a little slower, a little bit more sultry, a little hotter, a little stickier.
And we're coming back to the earth.
Exactly. We're returning to earth. And then autumn is a little bit more mysterious because in Chinese medicine, it is the element metal, which is a little bit difficult to grasp because it doesn't typically occur in other traditions. But if we think about what metal is, right, it's the progeny of heat and pressure. It's this precious, mysterious, beautiful thing that occurs deep within the earth's crust, right? That essentially is how it gives value and shape and form to life, right? And so metal and how that corresponds to autumn is a little bit abstract, but really important to understand if we're going to kind of look at why we all feel like, you know, a little unstable and a little like precarious and precious right now, right? So metal represents the sort of condensing of yang energy into yin. And that sort of...
And yang, just so everybody remembers, because I always get the two confused. Yes. Yang is the more... Is that the more masculine?
Well, it's a polarity. So masculine could be one way that it's attributed, right? It could also be more like energy versus substance. So the yin and yang is meant to be understood in terms of a relationship and less as like a tangible like concept, right? And so it's anything that's sort of in opposition and that beautiful like tension of opposites that creates our universe and that creates, you know, that makes up everything in our universe, like the polarity of molecules, like it's essentially the grand mystery of life, right?
All I know from yin and yang is that my Anita Rosenberg, who's been on this podcast, she was like, there's too much yin or whichever one is like a bunch of shit, you know, like a bunch of like too many little crystals and too many like too, you look like an old grandma, you know? And so I can't remember which element she had said. And she was like, you need more of the other one so that there's more like structure and clarity in the home versus, which I've always actually taken that to heart of, which I think these seasons are also great too, to be like, as we're decorating our homes even with holiday stuff is like, maybe don't do so much of the knick-knack shit.
Absolutely.
Because that's going to also create more cluster and clutter in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Is like the elegant, sort of beautiful way of incorporating the seasons and the holidays and the energies without cluttering or overwhelming yourself with all of it.
Without a doubt, particularly this time of year. Because this time of year, the entirety of the cosmos is pruning and shedding, right? So there's a profound metaphor there, which I think is the central metaphor of autumn and metal season in Chinese medicine, which is that there is this releasing onto the earth of things that were once beautiful and treasured, but letting them go and trusting that in releasing them in due time, they will return to us a thousand times fold, right? Everything else in nature doesn't have a problem clutching to things, but we love our stuff and we love our ephemera, right? And we love to clutch and hold on to things. But this is the time of year where I like to say that nature's doing its grand striptease, right? And it's like stripping down to what's essential. It's dropping leaves like it's hot, right? And then it becomes essentially like we see naked form in all of its elegant beauty.
It really is. Right?
It's truly elegant. And in autumn is all about essentially stripping down to what's essential, what is in the core and in the heart. And that's where like metal sort of emerges, right? And metal reminds us of like the sort of the beautiful, untarnished core within, right? Like the gems that are hidden deep within the earth. Because this is the time of year where we're slowing down and we're becoming more still. And if we think about metal, it has like a stillness that's found nowhere else in nature, which is why I think so many of us, particularly in our frazzled hyperspace age, love to make contact with these crystals, right? Because there is that like stillness that sort of it's a teacher for us and how to kind of come to that place, right? And contemplate the mystery of the depths and the underworld and what kind of alchemical transformations can occur there.
And, you know, that's such a great concept to be really connecting with right now is the idea that, you know, many of us are the struggle or the imbalance that we are talking about, that you're talking about and sharing. It's almost like that, I think, is the suffering right now. Yes. Is this desire to keep holding on to the energy that we may have had.
Yes.
And sort of that vivaciousness. Yes. Of summer and fall and, you know, getting kids back to school and, or, you know, just feeling like, oh, I'm going to routine myself now as I go into September and October. And it's almost like that at least is what I'm intuitively feeling. Mm-hmm. Is it's this, the sort of the dis-ease, the non-ease. Yeah. Of struggling. And some of us need a cold or something to like slow us down.
Yes. Well, and also in talking about alchemy and crystals and metal, like it all sounds so beautiful and lovely. But the truth is that this seasonal shift in particular is abrupt and unstable. If we think about every other seasonal shift, it's like sort of gentle and maybe gradual, and we sort of like ease into it and it unfurls with this slow kind of like languidness. And then it's suddenly, oh, it's spring or oh, it's summer. But autumn is hardcore. It's abrupt.
Everything is impacted.
Exactly. It goes from, at least particularly in LA, it's a very harsh transition because it goes from this sort of sticky, muggy late summer. And then all of a sudden, one day, the Santa Ana winds blow in.
Yes!
And it gets dry and mercurial and hot and arid. And the body has to shift and adjust to this very quickly, right? And so with autumn, there is this very palpable physical shift that has to happen where the body has to shore up against the winds, right?
Yeah.
And the pores close and tighten as the air cools quickly. The lungs have to change and adjust to the pressure. The dryness starts drying up the fluids of the body. And we see things like constipation and dry skin and an inability to let go. And so it's kind of like, it's fast. It's fast and it's hard. And it can lead to a lot of immune challenges. And so in Chinese medicine, the metal element and autumn is lung season, right? So lungs and large intestine in Chinese medicine are our embodied metal element. And they're essentially the pivot for gain and loss. For the entire body, right? So it's taking in the chi of heaven through the breath and cutting our losses out the other end through the colon. And so it's essentially our organs of purification. And metal is kind of all about purification, and autumn's about purification. And so this time of year, this is when our lungs and large intestine are most unstable. And the lungs and large intestine in Chinese medicine also sort of modulate our immunity. The lungs in particular are deeply tied to what is our Wei Qi, which is essentially our force field and our energetic barrier against pathogens, both sort of emotional and physical. And it gets really eroded in autumn because it happens really quick that all these things are coming at us, like winds and colds and people coughing on us. And like our pores opening and closing and opening and closing. It's like our force field is like open and closed and open and closed. And in that, we can become more susceptible to
cold. It's literally like a whole chill of your body.
Yes.
And the way that, you know, I guess I feel very blessed that I get to come and see you.
It's mutual.
But you know, my husband sees you. All yeah. my friends, everybody comes to see Carolyn because you have helped so much in the balancing and the homeostasis of our frequencies. And so what can people, you know, because people listen to this podcast mm-hmm. all over. And so some of them are, you know, like my own family living in Minnesota and North Dakota and friends of mine living on the East Coast. So that's where the like real, real winds and rain and chills and snow and all the things.
Oh yeah, next level metal.
Next level metal.
We have metal light.
Yeah, we have metal light for sure we do. Although the Santa Ana winds and the fires,
no joke.
I think also give us some of that same harshness. But what would you say what are our allies? What are the metal allies
yes.
that people can connect to? And if there's anything else you want to share mm-hmm. of wisdom for people to know as they go into this entire season, because you won't be back on the podcast until 2020 when we're in our next transition. So what would you like to share with people as wisdom based in this season through December mm-hmm. into January? And then also sort of connecting to, I'll probably have you back on in February.
Fabulous.
Would that be the right season time?
Water time.
Oh, yeah. Is that when it changes?
Well, water begins on the winter solstice. So around the 21st
late January?
Of December. And then it goes to the
December.
Autumn equinox around the 21st of March in the Northern Hemisphere.
Okay. So yeah. Maybe we will have you on sooner.
So whenever.
So what would you say between now then and let's say just through December?
Yes.
To give people some nuggets and then also some allies.
Yes, I love a good nugget. I am a nugget aplenty over
Same.
Here. Well, we'll cover a lot of bases because I think that going into this time of unstable chi is like giving it all we got, right? And so the most profound advice I can give is to tend really deeply right now to our lungs, right? And protect them. Sort of protect yourself is the motto of the season. And so we can do this in a very utilitarian kitchen witch kind of way by supporting the detoxification pathways of the lungs through particular foods and Chinese medicine that both moisten the lungs, right? Because dryness is the sort of the quality of mm-hmm. autumn and metal season, and also help the lungs both sort of expand and contract in a lovely way. So that would be more of the qi quality of the lungs. And so foods that you can kind of start incorporating into your repertoire very rigorously would be white and pungent foods. So think like garlic and leeks and onions and white mushrooms and horseradish. These foods really help detoxify the lungs mm. and also protect our immunity. And the second aspect would be to help moisten the lungs through foods that nourish moisture and yin in Chinese medicine. And so these would be things like pears and apples and kelps and seaweeds and any sort of mucilaginous, sort of slimy, delicious food you can get your hands on.
Mm.
And really rich, nourishing oils too are great this time of year, like a good flax oil or sunflower seed oil or Udo's 369 oil, something that you can do daily that is nourishing your essence and your moisture.
So even if you have maybe a busier schedule or whatever, to me, this season is like trading out a raw salad for a warm
Oh,
soup.
Yeah. Totally.
And then maybe you could put some flaxseed oil mm-hmm. on top of the soup.
Yes.
And, you know, having those certain, like I remember you had given me a recipe for pear.
Oh, yeah.
I think last year mm-hmm. when I was really going through some immunity stuff and I was like, the idea of a cold pear just doesn't sound good. And you're like, no, a baked pear.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? And it was an Asian baked mm-hmm. pear with like a sprinkle of cinnamon on it and just stick it in the oven.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any Carolyn specialties that you make at home?
Well,
I also love, you got us onto congee.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys know what that is, but it's like this amazing Asian delight. It's like warmed rice and you can do it in a bone broth.
Yeah. It sounds really fancy, but it's really simple. It's a porridge with more water than one would be used to putting in. You're cooking grains in like double the amount of water. So they get like soupy and luscious and you can put like scallions and miso and things in it. And it's like adult delicious. It's the best thing ever.
It's so delicious. So what are some of Carolyn's at-home recipes that none of us know about?
Well, actually, probably everybody knows about them at this time because I've been getting hyper-caffeinated every morning and like writing newsletters in lieu of meditation. I've been on this sort of piece of just kind of distilling my sort of alchemical seasonal medicine every morning and sharing it with people. And so I've been sharing a lot of these recipes. But the baked Asian pear is sort of my everything right now. I've been batch making them and I shared that recipe on my Instagram last week, I think.
Okay, go to @Botanarchy. It'll be in the show notes to grab that recipe.
And another thing I've been doing every morning, which I have in this lovely chalice next to the bed right now, is I've been making an American ginseng decoction because that is my sort of metal element herbal ally of the moment.
What do you put in it?
So it's so simple. It's all about American ginseng and letting it really shine and doing its work of like protecting you like it was your job. I mean, it's kind of like, I like to think of American ginseng as like the bouncer of the body, right? It's like, it's sort of like sitting at like the door and it's like, you shall not enter. Like,
no, shit's getting in here today. I'm not here for your drunken crazy.
Precisely, like busting out a switchblade if it needs to. But it's a really profound ally for metal season because it's all about both increasing the immunity, building the wei qi, but moistening the lung and moistening dryness. And it's also really good for a lot of my patients and probably a lot of your community right now as well are having these sensations of like feverishness and sweats.
Yeah,
and
I've been sweating several nights. I've had the sweats.
The sweats. It's totally okay. And it's really, it does make sense with the seasonal pivot. Dry cough.
Yep.
When there's no...
Or like a tickle in the throat that I'm like, I'm not sick, but like, am I sick? Because why is it still here?
Yeah, exactly. All those lingering maladies that make us feel like we're teetering on the edge of being sick in perpetuo. But, you know, really it's just about our lung qi suffering and our wei qi being deficient. And so we feel extra sensitive and we feel the impact of the environment more readily. Whereas usually we're supposed to be a little bit more resilient and things like changes in the weather and changes in the temperature, we're like riding it like it ain't no thing. But when our wei qi is eroded and our immunity is a little low, everything is like the biggest deal ever. And we feel everything more deeply and our body shifts and responds, you know, 1,000 times a day. And so we're hot, we're cold, we're dry, we're wet, we're phlegmy, we're this. And American ginseng is kind of the great rectifier.
Where does a person get a good American ginseng?
Well, my favorite supplier is Star West Botanicals. They're amazing because they have organic American ginseng root. And how you would use it, it's very easy to do. You would take about 3 to 6 grams of it and chop it up. And put it in maybe like 3 cups of spring water. I chop up a little like nugget of ginger and put it in there, bring it to a boil, and then let it simmer for like an hour. And I'm telling you, I do this every morning now, and I have been since the fire started because I wake up, my throat is like clenched. Everything inside me feels like parched to the point of bleeding, right? And I have that like lovely little lodge, nugget of dry phlegm in the back of the throat that all my patients are talking about.
Same.
Like this, it's so great to talk about this stuff, right? Because then we all like, we're going through these things together and it feels less pathological and more this part of this great grand alchemical mystery
all in it
we're
together.
All participating in. Yeah. And so I drink this and within 20 minutes, I'm like, a completely different person.
So I'm not a wait around for an hour for anything kind of gal.
That's why I love you.
So I just have to be honest.
Yeah.
So would you say you could batch it?
Oh yeah.
And make it and put it in the fridge?
You could batch the bejesus out of it.
That's what I'm talking about. Totally. This is a Sunday ritual, guys, and it's going to last you. Would it last for a full week or no?
It could last for at least, without a doubt. You can get ball canning jars and put them in the fridge and then just warm them up like bone broth.
Fantastic.
You can even throw this in your congee. Or okay. I made, like earlier this week, I cooked rice and I cooked it in the American ginseng tea that
amazing.
I have.
I honestly don't even know what ginseng looks like. So I'm going to find it and get on this train.
It's really sexy. Ginseng translates in Chinese to man root because the dried root actually looks like a human body.
Wow.
It's really profound. And in the law of signatures, things that look like a human body are for tonifying the entire body.
Of course, it's like the bodyguard for...
Exactly.
So let's go back before we get a few minutes of Qigong mm-hmm. from Carolyn. By the way, are you cool with that? We didn't talk about it before.
For sure.
I know. It's like your Qigong.
I love you.
So it's like me. I can stop, drop, and Reiki at any moment. So how about anything else? So we've talked about some of the food allies. Mm-hmm. Is there any other, tangible information? So really connecting to the lungs. What's a qi practice? So like a physical practice that people can do.
So there's like a couple really pragmatic, I feel like, rituals that you can do this time of year that sort of align with the alchemy of letting go, right? And so one of them, I do this every autumn and it's essentially pruning.
Mm.
And so I do a ritual overhaul. And what that looks like is I literally make a list of every single habit, practice, or protocol that I do every day. Like, and I'm like myopic about it. I'm like, wake up, look at the phone, like greet the dogs, do light stretching. And I look at my day and I give it like a nice hard look in the face. And then I start essentially looking in there at what has become superfluous, what isn't
actually... What does that word mean again?
Like unnecessary.
Okay.
Yeah. Like not actually serving a purpose anymore. Like something maybe we started doing and we don't even remember why we're doing it.
I love that.
And now it's really just essentially zapping our chi instead of giving it to us, right? So the whole of the cosmos right now is doing a great prune.
It is because I'm like, is it just me or is everything unreal right now? Like we are moving at a rapid speed.
Yeah.
Of transformation. Yeah. And I think there's something to be said too about that we're wrapping up a decade. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know why. And people who listen to this podcast know I'm fascinated with that right now because I don't know if we understand. I mean, in many ways, it's just another day and it's nothing at all. And in many other ways, it's like a whole decade.
Yes.
Like this is huge. Think about the consciousness that so many of us have come into since 2009.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think that there's a, it's almost like the alchemy of metal. It's like, this is like a huge last, this is how I feel, at least intuitively, this big last transformative shift. And by the way, everyone is getting it. It's not like just because you don't do any practices doesn't mean it's not happening to you. It is. It's more, I think, the practices and things like kelp and ginseng and, doing a pruning list like you're talking about. Those are actually just things that will help it feel a little bit more graceful.
Yes.
But it's going to happen regardless.
Regardless.
So don't worry if you haven't done anything. Like you're part of it. You're part of this all and we're taking you with us. But if it's been a little harsh or it's been a little bit intense, then that to me is like, okay, so then it's time to do Carolyn's pruning list. It's time to make some time to make this morning tea. It's time to have some practices
mm-hmm.
to give yourself permission that it can be easy.
Absolutely. And I mean, there is the time for like accruing things and gathering things. But right now, it's really the time for letting things go. And if you do it now, the energy is on your side, right?
Yeah.
And you can return all of that unto earth so that it can like fertilize and seed all of these like luscious things that you want to gestate come spring.
Yes.
And it's the perfect time to really kind of look at it and be like, what's essential in my life? What's essential and what's non-essential? And what is really supporting my vision that I hold for myself and the vision that I hold for the planet? And then chopping down everything that's not in alignment with it.
I love that.
Love a good prune.
That's such a smart way to look at it. And you can do it whenever you want to,
and
whenever it works for you.
And it's really elegant. And then you sort of can store up and shore up your energy this time of year and go into that next epoch or go into spring or winter actually restored.
Yeah.
Right? As opposed to having all these things that are just eroding our chi in the corners of our being, right? These things that...
I love this. Yeah. Is there any other ritual or thing that you would recommend?
Absolutely. Another thing I really do this time of year, because metal also represents sort of ritual and doctrine and devotion. And so I will sort of start a devotional practice this time of year too, because it's, again, this is a time of like deep contemplation and connecting with mystery and connecting with the divine. And
still, and the veil is sort of lifted.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's a sort of beautiful practice to just all for autumn, you know, say until perhaps the equinox on the 21st of December, you can pick anything and just devote yourself to it deeply, because this is the perfect time of the year where everything's like aligning for you to be more disciplined and rigorous. I think everyone's kind of feeling that. Like people are sort of like going deep into their work right now in a different way and not as being as like flagrant with their time. There's not a lot of like sunset cocktails or, you know, meeting up on the weekends.
It's absolutely,
like, you know, really devoting yourself to one thing and seeing where that takes you.
May I ask what your practice looks like?
Yes. Mine right now is writing. And so it's a devotional practice to me. That's my devotional practice to my Tao, my spirit. And it's how I sort of alchemically sort the world and then, you know, take all that like ephemera and create something tangible.
Beautiful. So is that kind of your morning practice
right now
you were talking about? Ah.
So I will waver between like waking up and I'll read for an hour and a half. But this time right now, my practice is writing. So every morning I'll write for an hour to 2 hours. And that is my devotional practice. And it's my devotional practice to my patients because it's all things that I'm giving to others.
Of course.
I'm not journaling. I've never been able to journal about my like dear diary. Like, and maybe that's the part of me that's all about, I'm collectively oriented. I'm not very individually oriented. Yeah. I'm like, let's talk about the collective liberation of the planet. Like,
I love like, it. I so love it's it. More it's like, so fitting.
Yeah. And that, and then even, you know, I sort of think about what my devotional practice is to each element this time of year too. Like my devotional practice to fire would be sitting in the sun so I can get my vitamin D and my autoimmune disease stays in remission. Or my devotional practice to water is going to Ojai and visiting the hot springs on the regular.
Yes.
So there's sort of like, think about the ways that you are devoted.
I love that. And incorporating all of them. Mm-hmm,
totally.
Well, my dear, you're such a queen and your wisdom and your knowledge is absolutely profound and admirable. So thank you for sharing it with everyone. And I'm going to turn my mic off so I can close my eyes and receive this Qigong. So when you guys are ready, just get really comfortable and Carolyn will guide us through just a few minutes of her Qigong practice.
So this Qigong practice today in the throes of metal season and autumn is all about the lung energy. And so to begin, I invite you to take a few deep breaths in, feeling both that tender space where your body is connecting to the downward pull and the energy of the earth, and that space on the top of your head that feels open and aligned with the heavens, feeling your body as an emissary between the two, connecting both to the heavenly energy above and the earthly energy below. When you feel ready and aligned, I invite you to bring your hands together in a prayer position in front of your body, and then gently at first, but then vigorously, begin rubbing them together until you start feeling the tangible sparks of chi and warmth alighting between the palms. when you've accessed your own chi and feel that luscious electricity in your hands, I invite you to take your right hand and place it over your left collarbone, keeping your right hand on cloud gate in the tender depression in the corner of the collarbone, and keeping your left hand rested comfortably in your lap. Slide the fingers on the underside of the collarbone until they find contact with that lovely little well, that corner that rests at the end of the collarbone where the shoulder attaches. This is acupuncture point lung 8, which translates to cloud gate. And it's at this point that we are able to access the chi of heaven. This point, if we bring our energy into it, disperses the clouds so that we may see clearly, breathe deeply, and receive the heavenly chi into our body temple. It helps to part the soggy, grief-laden, dense clouds that may be clinging and clutching to the body, so that we may invite freshness and aliveness into the body temple. Making access with this point invites you to take deep breaths in and out, allowing the chi from your hands to gently disperse any stuckness, any heaviness, any clouds or vapors that you may feel clinging to your lungs and your chest. As you take your last few breaths here with your hands resting upon your cloud gate, when you inhale, I invite you to collect any last feelings and sensations of heaviness that you feel. And as you exhale, feel the gentle pressure of your hands and your chi, making contact with that heaviness, dispersing the clouds and parting them so that the light can shine through. Taking a few cycles of breath in this way. And then when you feel ready and complete, knowing that you can always return to this practice anytime you feel the lingering clouds or heaviness in the chest, to rest your palms upon your lap and notice again your body in relation to both the earth and the heavens. Opening your eyes when you are ready. Greet the day anew with the clouds that have parted.
And one more thing, guys, to support you in perhaps creating some of the devotional practices that Carolyn talked about in this episode. The first is I am so excited to share a free 4-part webinar series called the Energy Healing Masterclass with Hay House. If you go to my website, kelseyjpatel.com, and click on Work With Me and the online resources, you will see that you can register. There are 4 incredible free webinars with some, honestly, some of the most incredible healers, from Dawson Church, who has a PhD and he's an expert of emotional freedom technique, which you guys know I love so much. I'll be on there. There is an interview between me and Margaret Lynch Rainier. She does an incredible chakra clearing. There's just so many people and it's free. So I hope you guys can go on and register. The webinars are actually already started and they end on November 21st. But if you go in and register, you can still get access to all of them. And then the other part that's super exciting is I am doing a 21-day meditation with the Den. It is the first one that they are doing online. And it's a 21-day meditation challenge. And it's all about manifesting wellness. It's 20 minutes every day for 21 days. And you guys, it is so incredible. It has guided meditations, distance Reiki, EFT, and we are all going to do it together starting on December 1st. So again, that's on my website. You can click on kelseyjpatel.com, go into Work With Me, click on the online resources, and both of those opportunities are there. I hope you sign up and receive so that we can end and create beautiful manifesting as we close out this decade, this Mercury retrograde, and all the things. Okay, sending you guys so much love. Thank you guys so much for listening. I cannot wait to continue to share the magic and all the vibes with you. Stay tuned as we travel around the world with this podcast, sending you distance Reiki and energy healing from incredible places, incredible lands, incredible humans all across the globe. You're coming with me wherever I go, and I can't wait to share the journey with you. If you'd like more listening opportunities, head over to kelseyjpatel.com. And if you want to follow the day-to-day vibes, check out my Instagram at kelseyjpatel. Look forward to seeing you in the magic vibes again very soon.